Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. And those who find it are few." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're approaching the end of our annual 3-week insertion into Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount. And he begins to summarize what it's all about. Sermon on the Mount proposes to us Jesus' way of life as the way to true happiness, to beatitude. It's a way that's higher than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. "Unless our righteousness surpasses theirs," Jesus tells us earlier in this sermon, "we won't enter the kingdom of heaven." It has to be higher than the most virtuous of pagans, who love those who love them, who do good to those who do good to them. The ultimate standard to which Jesus wants us to appear is his own standard. So at the end, he starts to point to 3 different lessons today that we have to grasp about all he said throughout the Sermon on the Mount, but then we could extend it to all that he has and will try to teach us. First is to treat this great gift with the reverence it deserves. Do not give what is holy to dogs or throw your pearls before swine. We would never do that. We'd never put diamonds in an animal dish. We treasure gifts, and Jesus wants us to treasure his teaching. Second, to show how his teaching surpasses that's come before. He gives us what we call the golden rule, which had never been heard of by this point. There was a version of the golden rule, and we think that it could go back centuries, but what we think had come before was always phrased negatively. Whatever you don't want to suffer, don't do to others. Jesus came and he stressed it positively, which points to the whole moral message of Jesus. So many times we can think morality in general is thou shalt not do these things. And as long as we don't cross those lines, everything's fine in our relationship with God. That's always the beginning. And pedagogically, when we're training little children, or when we were trained, it first starts with our parents telling us what not to do rather than what to do. We can't love our neighbor as ourselves until we learn that we can't beat our little sister up. But Jesus calls us to something far greater. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the whole law and the prophets. In order to do this, we need to think about the types of good things that we would want to be done to us, and then do it to others. I'm going to get back to that with St. Joseph Cafasso in a second. And then the third, that second criterion was all about what the Sermon on the Mount is. Constantly going beyond and doing the right things rather than failing to do the wrong things. Third criterion, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. But how narrow the gate and constricted the road leading to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus tells us here that his way, this way of doing unto others what we would want done to us, this way of real reverence for every word that is dropped from his mouth, is the most precious pearls of all. Few are on that road. We saw that at the beginning of this whole discourse of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus gave us the Beatitudes. If we were to look even at Catholics who practice the faith every Sunday, the vast majority, when given the choice between wallowing in earthly riches, like the tycoons who have the skyscrapers here, or being poor in spirit, we know how they choose. Purity of heart versus having all their sexual fantasies fulfilled, we know how they choose. Being elected most popular or being persecuted and reviled by everyone in the sake of Jesus' name, we know how people would choose. Finishing off fights that others start, teaching people lessons they'll never forget, versus being meek and a peacemaker. We know how most people would choose. Most people do not choose to follow Jesus along the path of the Beatitudes, including people who are outwardly and probably inwardly think that they're his followers. We need to grasp that if we were to take a snapshot, Jesus is saying, about those who are on the path to heaven versus those who are on the broad highway leading away to that state of definitive self-exclusion from God, far more people are on the road away from God than toward God. It's a snapshot of the way things really are. And we need to grasp that snapshot. But that's not the end. Jesus' whole mission, the mission to which he's entrusted to us, is to get people off the highway to hell and onto the way of the cross, that narrow road leading to life. Jesus is going to give us all the help he knows we need in order to be able to do it. But the first help is to get us personally on that road. We see that this is a consequence of faith. The first reading, we continue with Abraham, our great father in faith, who shows us what real faith is. Yesterday we see how he was willing to leave everything in Ur of the Chaldees as a card-carrying AARP member, a senior citizen, and go to a place not that the Lord had indicated, but that the Lord would indicate. And then even when he gets there, he says, I'm going to give this land to your descendants, not even to you. You're going to have to fight for it. You're, in essence, going to have to be a little bit of a wanderer. But Abraham believed. Today we see one of the consequences of faith. Again, treating things as gifts, doing unto others what you would prefer to be done unto you, and taking the narrow road. It's all here. When he sees that his nephew Lot's flocks were becoming too big, everything was becoming confused, it would have been very easy for Abraham to pull a rank of seniority. Say, Lot, I'm staying here, you go there. Many in the world would do that. He had actually earned the privilege, and then in the culture of the time, he would have been the equivalent of Lot's father. His word would have been a command. But instead, he says to his nephew, choose. Which do you want? We can't continue to do it. It's too confusing for everybody, but you choose. What great magnanimity, what great generosity that flows from faith. And Lot, if Lot had been like his uncle, Lot would have said, no, Uncle Abe, I want you to choose. But no, he looked and he thought that something was going to be better for him in his situation. So I choose that. You take the seconds, Abraham. And we know how the story turned out. Abraham chose that narrow road. And Lot chose the easy one. And it made all the difference for Abraham. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Joseph Kafaso. I want to celebrate this feast with you, not only because he's one of the greatest parish priests who's ever lived, but also because a lot of people don't know him and what a great intercessor he can be for all of us. You know, in Reconciliation and Penance, St. John Paul II wrote about the four great apostles of the confessional. And I know you would know who all four of those are. Who would they be? Saint Mandic is the hardest one to get. No, let's look at who's being sent away for studies. We now know why. Who else? Saint John Vianney, very easy one. Third is Saint John Nepomuk, who was thrown off the bridge in Prague for not revealing to the king what the queen had confessed. A lot of people would say Padre Pio, and if it were being written today, Padre Pio would be in it. But Joseph Cafasso was that other one, right up there with the greatest who has ever lived, because he was constantly pouring himself out to the limit in order to bring people onto the narrow road. His story is pretty interesting. He had been given the grace of knowledge of his vocation very early in life. So while everybody else was goofing off, he knew that God needed his brain and his heart, and he was studying. When he was 19, he met a young boy who was an orphan. His dad had died. His mom, Margarita, was really struggling to make ends meet. This young boy thought that he might have a priestly vocation, but at the time, if you had a priestly vocation but couldn't afford to go to school, you had no priestly vocation. So he adopted, in a sense, this boy 4 years his junior, started to tutor him, started to get him ready, started to work as hard as he could to get John Bosco to go to school. Joseph Cafasso was ordained by exception at the young age of 22, 3 years early, because he knew the faith so well and he was so virtuous. He was immediately sent away to get the equivalent of his doctorate so that he could train future priests. And he spent the whole rest of his life up until 49 in the seminary, first as a professor and then as a professor and the rector. But that wasn't enough for him just to train future priests in the classroom and in the seminary building. He had too much zeal. He wanted to be a priest and show them by his own example what it was to be a priest. So he became a spiritual director to everyone. One of the great tributes to St. Joseph Cafasso is that four of his spiritual directees went on to be canonized. So great was his witness and his counsel. He would go and hear the confessions throughout parishes. He had a special care for all the ruffians on the street, those who had no dads, those who were getting into trouble. So he started a special apostolate. And once he had got it going, he turned to St. John Bosco and said, "Would you please take it from here?" He was the great catalyst to John Bosco's whole work among young people. The greatest of all the apostles of the young started with the catalysis of St. Joseph Cafasso, who was the Barnabas to Saul in the life of St. John Bosco. But he's most famous for the incredible work he did in prisons. At a time in which many of the guards wouldn't go into prisons except armed because it was incredibly rough, this man who would make me look tall would walk into these prisons where there would be 40 or 60 in one big room, and they used to make sport of some of the people who would come on in. He'd preach to them, celebrate Mass for them, show them that God loves them, and encourage them to be reconciled to God. One of the first times he was in that prison cell, after he had preached, after he had made the time, nobody was coming to confession. So Joseph went over to the biggest, strongest guy in the room who had grown a goatee, and he started to grab on the goatee. And he said, "I'm not going to let you go until you come to confession." "I don't need to go to confession." He said, "Yes, you do." "Well, I don't know how to go to confession." "I will patiently teach you. You're a big boy, don't be afraid." "I'm not afraid." "Prove it." So we heard this Hulk's confession. At the end, this man was so filled with joy, as if he had been reborn, that he became an extraordinary apostle of the confessional within that prison. He had been sentenced for the rest of his life there, constantly bringing other people to the meek and the gentle priest who had come to bring them Jesus and his mercy. How many people Joseph Cafasso got from that broad road leading to perdition onto the narrow road that leads to life? And the same graces that were available to him are available to us. How inspiring that is. He never merely lived by the golden rule. We could call it he lived by the platinum rule. He wasn't just going to do to others what he would want done to him if he were imprisoned. He wanted to do to others what Jesus wanted to be done to him. "For I was in prison, and you visited me. Today, through his intercession, let us ask the Lord for the grace to take these great pearls he gives us in all his teaching as reverently as they ought to be received. Let us ask him for the grace to ponder the best that we can do for God and for others, and receive his help to do just that, so that our life might be one in which we're drawing many people with us, one by one, onto that road that'll lead to that place where St. Joseph Cafasso, St. John Bosco, the Blessed Virgin, and all the saints await us. Praise be Jesus Christ.